Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guidance.
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this soundtrack.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, I copy guidance.
Okay.
Okay, we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot del H. Goes based on the data you had for an LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're yelling fine.
Okay, retro.
Go.
Fido.
Go.
Guide.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
GNC.
Go.
Ecom.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom. We're go to continue. Pedia.
Coming to you live from the slopes of the ghost-filled Sierra Nevada gold country and in the paranormally active shadow of Mount Rainier, it's Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your hosts, John Almada and Kat Lang.
Yes, it's us. John?
Hang on, I'm having trouble.
Do you need some background music? John? Uh-oh. Do 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 do.
Hello?
Yes.
I got disconnected. I'm sorry, everyone. The hazards of the new studio testing here.
Oh, my God. There's that reverb going on.
Hang on. I'm gonna fix this. Hang on.
La, 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 la.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what that reverb is going on. I can tell you we're going to change that when we take the break here, but I'll try to minimize that. Well, anyway, hey, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio in its new studio with all the attendant troubles, and we're just doing a fun show tonight, and we kind of knew we'd have a few of these kind of odd events as we're breaking in the new studio here, and basically this is our mobile studio capability, and as you can tell, what ended up happening was the Skype phone connector in the back on the handset actually popped out just as the show was going live, and I think I might have had a little friend or two help me with that, who knows, but I'm sorry, Kat, I could hear you going, are you there, are you there?
Man, you sound like you're talking on one of the megaphones.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
What I'm going to do is a little surgery here.
Echo. Can you hear me?
How about that? That a little bit
that
better?
That sounds just neato.
Okay, what I did is I stuck the handset in the file cabinet next to my desk here in my place.
Are you serious?
That's what it is. So I've got a list of what will happen is there will be a list of things that as I break this studio in and start seasoning it up, it'll those kinds of things get taken care of. Like in the studio, one of the rituals we have down there is when I dial in on the Skype phone down there, I have a drawer that I pull out, and I put the other duplicate Skype phone in and just drop that in, and then you don't hear any of that reverb. So it took me a minute to realize what that was. So,
right.
Hey, Catsters, we had a heck of a time last night with South Indy Paranormal. You know, they're really
we
nice
did.
Crew there. Yeah. I'm just sitting here tonight, just really glad that this finally came about. What we've done is I bought a really neat package here. Let's reach over and grab it for the name here. What this is called is the Behringer Podcast Studio, and I'm not the kind to normally rave about a product, you know, make it sound like a commercial or something, but for those of you, you know, who are doing Blog Talk Radio shows, I saw this on Amazon for like $99, and I kept looking at it going, you know, for the field, that would be really cool to take with us and, you know, do mobile shows. So that's what we're doing tonight. We're trying this Behringer Studio out, and it turns out it's a pretty neat system. Mm-hmm. And Kat, how do I sound on this thing?
You're actually, you sound pretty normal for right now. I mean, if it changes, I'll let you know. But for now, it sounds like it's all systems are go, buddy.
Yeah, we're broadcasting through the wireless laptop to the router just about 2 feet away, so I know I got a great signal. And just the Skype phone is doing the call-in, so that's going to actually save me a bunch of long-distance charges. So I'm going to document.
We lost you, John.
Still there?
I can barely hear you.
Okay, how about now?
Nope.
All right. Try turning this up. How about that?
No, I can barely hear you.
How about there?
That is just peachy.
Okay, so you know what? We're going to, just for
now.
Ooh, there's the reverb.
Okay. I'm going to turn this down.
How about
that?
Is that
got gone?
Ooh!
Tell you what, I'm going to turn this thing pretty much off.
John, I'm a 70s child. Don't freak me out.
How about that? Is that better?
That sounds great.
Okay, I'm on the Skype phone right now, but, you know, that's the kind of stuff we're going to have to test out. And that's, remember when I was doing all those test shows way back?
Yeah.
Where, you were kind of noticing I was doing them, and you're going, why am I not part of it? And this is the stuff I was figuring out, trying to figure out what worked and what didn't. And then I'd go back and play the show back and listen and find out, you know, and I had to work all the procedures out. And it looks like I'll have to do the same thing again tonight, so... that said, what we'll do is at the half-hour break, I'll just get back and back on the mixer and try a couple of things. So I just suddenly dropped out on you. Is that what happened?
Yeah, sometimes in the studio, you know, you have that one microphone right by the chair, and if you move away from it, you can't hear you. So that's kind of
okay.
What happened, but it just we just lost you.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's just go ahead and we'll just start with a regular show here. So just wanted to say I've been working with, as I've said in the past, I've been working with our good friends over at Journey Paranormal. And it was funny because I got asked, middle of last week, Sharon gave me a call and we were talking and she said, hey, we'd like to look at if you could possibly look at analyzing some of our evidence, because I kind of offered in the past. And so we got talking and she ended up, I figured I'd get two or three, and I ended up with 14 Windows Media audio files from Lizzie Bordenhaus. And I fired those up, and I had to convert them to work with my software, and so I got that all done. And we started getting EVPs right off the bat, and I was surprised because I've heard other investigations go in there and say there's nothing in there, and I beg to differ. I've got about probably 15 so far on the first two clips that we've analyzed, and we've got, you know, the 12 more to go. So I've never been there. Have you ever been to Lizzie Borden?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I've never been to that entire state. No, I've never. You know, the Lizzie Borden house to me is one of these places that you can go that is probably half hype and half true, just because of where it is and what it is. I've heard the same thing from some people get Zippo, some people get a bunch, some people get questionable, some people get just slammed with it. Just I don't know, but I know there's a lot of, you know, I've read a lot of things about the Lizzie Borden house, and it's true that there's the murders did take place there, and it was tragic, and you know, of course Lizzie was acquitted, and there's I've seen at least one movie about it and seen all the documentaries, but I think the problem that you have with people that want to go and investigate that place is everybody has a preconceived notion of what they're going to find in that place.
Yeah, and that was I really didn't know much more. I got no information on the case that these case files that I was given.
Mm-hmm.
I just got handed them and said, "Here, we went there last year. Do what you can with this." And I said, "Sure, no problem, Sharon." So we got started, and now what I'm doing is just going in with absolutely no idea, other than I know some of the voices in there of different people, and she hunted with some other group that came in with her. So it'll be interesting to see what what they think of what we picked up here as I did the analysis. But I did get one EVP talking about killing in there, and that was kind of disturbing on the second clip that I was analyzing. So, and there was voices of a woman coming in also, and that seems to be what we're getting the most of on so far in, is the voices of this woman keeps coming in. And she keeps overlaying on the top of what Sharon is saying, and also also her partner, who was there with her. And they just keep it just keeps you know the kind of EVPs I'm talking about. They just have that overlay. They just come right in over the top, and from there. So,
We have Elusive is in the chat room, and he's asking if he can call in because he can't hear anything on his speakers coming off of the show, and he's just said he tried to call, but he got a busy signal.
Yeah, matter of fact, I had the same problem. Tell him to give it a try, and he can actually listen to the show if he is able to get in. There's something going on with Blog Talk tonight. I had a hell of a time with the show tonight, and it's just
Andrea says that she can hear me, but you're very quiet.
Oh, really?
But I mean, I'm on the phone, so I can hear you just fine.
What about now? Can you hear me better?
I don't know. Can you hear him? Can you hear him better?
Yeah, Des Moines Paranormal is saying, I'm talking. How about if I talk up a bit? Is that better?
I know you can always hear me, but I'm on Comcast cable for my phone, so it's always loud and clear. Not really.
Well, I'll be darned, because I'm on. I've got this thing as loud as I can get it. The only other way out of it would be for me to come in on the other line and try it. So, tell you what, if you're willing to just keep talk about Lizzie Borden a little bit, I'm going to try to come back on the other line and see if that works. Okay.
Okay, none of these people can get on the phone, and Andrea says she can hear you a little bit better now. But I'll just start talking about the Washoe Club. How's that?
That sounds good. Go ahead and do that.
Okay, so I'll just put in the room that John is gonna try another line. Okay. Anyways, what I was saying the other night on the other show about the Washoe Club. In Virginia City, which is where we're headed at the end of May, is it's going to be interesting because the Washoe Club has a lot of activity in it, and it all seems to be kind of the same type of activity. It's residual, and there was a lot of tragedy that happened in the Washoe Club. In fact, there's one room in the Washoe Club that apparently is fairly difficult to enter because of the feelings that you get when you enter it. Different people that enter this room have a varying degree of anything from sadness to fear to just feeling like you just want to cry to feeling physically ill.
And so I look forward, from what I do, is going into this club, if I can, and maybe trying to piece together actually what happened in this room as to why people feel the way they do.
Can you hear me, Kat?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, we got a caller in at from the 515 area, so I went ahead and put him on the air. I'm not sure who it would be, but hello, call.
Hey, it's Mike from Des Moines Paranormal. How you doing, guys?
Good.
So you guys can hear me okay?
I can hear you fine, but I'm on a cable, so.
Yeah, so am I.
well,
no, I was going to tell you about what's that?
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Yeah, I got some good news for you guys. You'll get a kick out of this. Have you guys thought about coming out to Iowa?
No.
I got to take you to
a
place in Iowa.
What's the place in Iowa?
Oh, Andrea says you're sounding better now.
Yeah, I
do sound a whole lot better. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
okay.
I did some work. The mixer, and it's just, again, you know what, I kind of apologize. We should have probably done test shows before we went out and did this, but anyway, here we are. So go ahead on this location in Iowa, though.
It's a tea house here in Des Moines, Iowa. The minute you put down your digital recorders and start doing your EVP sessions, you don't even have to ask questions. They will actually start talking to you whether you can hear them or not. Within a minute of me putting down my recorder, I had probably 5 EVPs back to back to back.
Wow.
Yeah.
What place is this?
It's the Joie de VT House. It's in a place in Sherman Hill. It's a really old Victorian neighborhood. But the story about the house, this will kill you. Do you know who Drake University is? They're a big law school here.
Yeah, I've heard of Drake.
Okay. All right. Where they built their new stadium, which is the Knapp Center, where they built that stadium, they moved these two houses, okay? In 1977, there was an apartment fire where this one house has been put at, okay? Killed 4 people and 1 baby, okay? So what they've done is they tore this old apartment building down, and she lives on a double lot, so they moved this whole entire house in the late 80s to this place. And ever since then, ever since they've moved it to this place, she gets all kinds of weird stuff. Okay? They have an antique radio that's downstairs that will turn on and it's not even plugged in. You know, the old turn dial jobs and everything. It did that while I was there. stuff falls off the shelves and everything else. And so she calls us up and she says, come on in and check this place out. And I said, cool, you know, not a problem. So me and a buddy of mine, there's just the two of us at the time, we went in there, and I had my digital recorder going the whole entire time, you know, the whole entire time, because I got one of those ones, it's like a 2 gig, it'll sit there and record forever if you let it. But the minute you put down the recorder, I got an EVP within the first second, and probably about 300 other ones throughout the whole night.
300?
Huh.
300 in this place. I actually have a college rule notebook that has, you know, 70-page college rule notebook with all my evidence written in there for that place. We had a child apparition walk from the doorway to the base of the main staircase in the front of the house. We actually had in the video of it, we can actually pan up when Grant was panning, you know, just kind of looking up and down the stairs. He'll pan up to the top of the stairs and look at the window and everything, and there's a female that's looking right down at them. And you can see it as a reflection.
Do you have that line for folks to see?
Not yet. Actually, we're converting it over from Hi-8 to DVD now, so we're getting ready to do that here pretty soon. We're actually going back on the 25th and 26th of July to redo the investigation with whoever wants to go. It's a big house, trust me. There's plenty of room for everybody.
Neat. It just sounds like a really great site. I mean, 300 EVPs in a night. Is there a general theme to what the types of EVPs you're getting, or similar
personalities? Yeah, actually, we do. Actually, there is a woman who is upstairs. We actually know her name is Mrs. Jordan. We get her saying, "Get him off me." We get another woman saying, "I'm sorry." We get another gentleman who's a real jerk in there. He says, get out all the time. He says, this is my home, and which could possibly be Mr. Jordan because he passed away in the house. They actually had three funerals in the house during the turn of the century. There was three of them in there, which was all held in the women's parlor. We have another gentleman that, when I said, well, I was talking to a friend of mine, you know, our Grant, who was standing out in the hallway. I said, well, I'm going to take off now and go outside and have a smoke. And then you hear this, okay, good. And Grant was actually in the kitchen when this was said. And the digital recorder was actually in the women's parlor.
Wow.
And the kitchen is very far back. It's about 100 feet away from the actual women's parlor. And the pocket doors were closed.
Well, it sounds to me like...
It's awesome. I mean, you go upstairs, within minutes of going upstairs, you get all kinds of screaming, yelling, and everything else in your EVPs. Now, camera-wise, we didn't really get much. We did get a lot of good flashing, thick orbs, you know, some that had real good mass on them and everything downstairs in the men's parlor, but upstairs we didn't get hardly anything on that. It seems like the majority of the activity is downstairs for some odd reason.
And have you done any history on the house?
I have. I actually did do some history on the place. The Jordans actually built the house in 1850-something, and they lost three kids there. Mrs. Jordan, she was an elite, highlight, you know, kind of person. She kind of hung around the who's who's here in Iowa and everything.
Yeah.
She's a real good friend of our Annie Savory, who is a women's rights movement here. They used to party together all the time, you can actually say. yeah, whatever they considered partying back then. You know, she was within the women's movement as well, but her husband was really a jerk. This guy hated everything about it, banned her from doing it. I actually locked her up in the house and wouldn't let her leave. So
and
we can find
she died
that out. She died of old age. We know that. She died. He actually died before she did. He actually died in his 60s, and she died like 5 or 6 years later.
Be darned. Well, and how did you come by this case?
One day I was just walking through Sherman Hill, and which is right down the road from my place and everything, about 5 minutes, and I was just taking a walk through Sherman Hill, and I loved going up there, of course. And I was sitting there, I was like, well, this is a neat place, and, you know, it was a tea house and everything, so I went in and had some tea, right? And I got to talking to the homeowner, and she goes, well, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm a screen printer, and I'm a paranormal investigator. You know, I have my own team and everything. And she said, would you like to come in and do this place? And I said, sure, I'll be all over it.
That's the way it usually works. You know, I get the same thing out here in Placerville. I've gone around just doing similar kinds of things, and you start talking about what you do, and suddenly you've got an investigation on hand.
Well, you see, and that's just the way I always get my investigations. When people find out, they're like, oh, really? Cool. I got a place for you, and then they usually get me hooked up with it. But, you know, I get a kick out of, you know, doing houses like that. And actually, we're trying to get the receiving vault here in Des Moines, Iowa. Now, do you know what a receiving vault is?
I've heard of that.
Okay. In the Midwest, we have what they call receiving vaults. Receiving vaults are where, during the wintertime, it's really hard to dig the ground here because it freezes over. So what they did is they took all these bodies that died during the wintertime that were being buried in the cemetery and everything, and they put them in these receiving vaults and charged the family $2 a month to hold on to the bodies until springtime.
Oh, my God. I have heard of these, and there's been so many investigations I've heard of, you know, those sorts of things. You know, people happen to kind of improvise when the commercial ones were not around. They were improvising and doing whatever they could to preserve them until, like you said, the ground becomes soft enough to put them in. And
right.
You get some amazing evidence in some of those places. Yeah, and that's the part I'm still trying to figure out. Why do spirits hang around a place like that after, you know, they've died? I mean, I don't know. I just don't know why we get EVPs around such things.
I don't know either. But you know what? I have a theory, and this is just my theory, guys. And, you know, and I'm going back biblically, okay? And this is, and you can take it for whatever it's worth, because I, you know, I'm not much of a Christian myself. But, you know, from what I understand, you know, biblically, okay, now there's three versions of this, and you can take whichever version you want. But I actually asked a preacher or a priest about this one time. I said, okay, the Old Testament says that we die, we go to the bosom of Abraham, right?
Right.
That's in the Old Testament. You get a little further towards the beginning of the New or Old Testament, going into the New Testament, you hear that they say, when we die, we go to the face of God. That's that you can't do that. You know, if you did go to the face of God, you'd be dead. You know, whether you're dead or dead, you know, you'd be dead. Because you can't, and in the Old Testament it says you cannot stand and be in the sight of the face of God. Okay? And in Revelations it says that all spirits are all persons that have died will stay on this plane until Christ comes in the second coming and does the rapture, of course, right? So there's so many theories to it. I mean, Christian theories, but there are a lot of different other theories about it too. But the best EVPs I've ever gotten was in a church.
Okay.
Actually, in a church.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're coming up on our half-hour break, and we have a caller over in the 651 area code, and just...
John?
What's that?
Oh, okay, we lost you for a minute.
Am I still here?
Yeah, you're still here.
Yeah, you're still here now.
Okay. We're going to be taking about a three-minute break, and I've got a little song for Kat. We'll be back, and we have a caller on the 651 area code, so as soon as we get back in there, we'll kind of throw them into the pile with us, and I'll have a group chat. So, Kat, this is for you.
Hey.
One day when I was out in the woods, thought that a walk would feel pretty good. On the trail, kicking up the leaves, digging all the mushrooms and rocks and trees, just looking at the bugs and the mud and the moss. And that's when I ran into the boss. They call him Bigfoot, Sasquatch. He can boogie, he's the boss. See him shuffle, see him sway.
Stop it.
Swinging in the Sasquatch way. Boogie, boogie, Bigfoot, boogie now.
Oh, God.
He's a big old guy, twice as big as a man. He can practically hold you in the palm of his hand. He never takes a bath. He's covered with hair. He's always
naked
and he doesn't care. But if you're scared of him, take my advice. You know, he smells kind of funky, but he's pretty nice. He's a Bigfoot,
Squatch.
He's the boss.
Suppose that dude's ever heard of Axe deodorant, right?
Captain Log, scan.
La la la, la la la, at the odorant.
Big feet while he's doing his shuffle through the boogie beat. He's the caretaker of the deep, deep woods. You know the forest and the mountain are his neighborhood. So if you visit there, don't leave your trash behind. If you meet any critters, you better be kind. He's Bigfoot, Sasquatch. He can boogie, he's the boss.
La 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 la.
Him sway. Stomping and swinging in the Sasquatch way.
Boogie,
boogie, Bigfoot, boogie now. If you ever do meet him, don't spread it around. Or at least don't tell anyone where you found him. He's not an attention-seeking guy. He's bashful, kind of camera shy. Staying out of sight is what he's
dang
gotta do. Because he doesn't want to end up living in a zoo. He's a Bigfoot, Sasquatch. He can boogie, he's the boss. See him shuffle, see him sway. Stomping and swinging in a Sasquatch way. A boogie woogie, Bigfoot, boogie now.
La 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 la.
Boogie woogie, Bigfoot,
This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio coming to you live on blogtalkradio.com.
Troops is filmed on location with the men of the Imperial Forces. All suspects are guilty, period. Otherwise, they wouldn't be suspect, would they?
That's right.
Yeah, suspect. Hey, we got Des Moines, I believe it's Des Moines Paranormal on with us, and we're about to bring in our other guest here, so we're going to go ahead and pull him in, or her. So, caller, you're on the air from 651 area code.
Oh, hey, guys. It's just the elusive one with the Minnesota Bigfoot Research Team. Just calling and listening, mainly.
Oh, hey, good to see you. Yeah, we see you on all the time, and really appreciate you being out there for us.
Yeah, not a problem. Not a problem. You guys just keep on doing what you're doing, and don't let nobody get you down.
Yeah, we're
appreciate
you being here for this crazy show. We have had a heck of a time getting this studio going, so thank you.
It's good
to see you out there. And matter of fact, we're going to be doing a Bigfoot show here in about 6 weeks, I think. And
that's right.
We got to get you on and have you talk with us about some of your stuff. So. Are you up for something like that?
Most definitely. I would be happy to do a Bigfoot show with you guys.
We have to give you a return trip.
Yeah. There we go. Let's do another
one.
For
real?
Are we talking about Sasquatch already?
As long as you promise to play Bigfoot Boogie for me, that'd be great.
Okay, we'll do that. And I've got a couple other Bigfoot songs, so we'll definitely make that happen. But hey, what brings you out here tonight other than wishing us well? You got anything? You've seen something or got a great case going or?
Nothing in your guys' field. Basically, just come to show some support.
Okay, well, good to have you aboard, and feel free to join in the chat. We were just talking about the EVPs and stuff with Des Moines Paranormal. And in some of the cases that we're working on and if different things that are happening, we're going to be actually going out to Nevada here in about 5 weeks. We're going to be out there at Virginia City hunting over at the Gold Hill Hotel.
That's right.
That's going to be a bunch of fun. We're going to be actually trying to get the miner's cabin, which is where Cap 25 miners died and were never recovered.
37 miners died out there, and their bodies were never recovered.
Yeah, so you can actually see right at the entrance to where that happened, and I guess the Ghost Adventures crew was in there and caught some interesting EVPs. And we've talked about that case, many a time. But we're going to go in there ourselves and give it a shot, and then the Washoe Club, and of course Boot Hill. I'm not sure what the hours are. I'm going to be making some phone calls here and getting a bunch of this all buttoned down soon. But definitely EVP rich territory. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, okay, you're right. For you guys.
Two of you were talking at the same time. Didn't hear you.
I was just going to say, I hope it all goes good for you guys. Now, when you guys are out there, doing what you guys do, what type of, do you guys use, like digital recorders or like a thermal camera to tell the temperature differential in a room or something?
Well, what we, our equipment is, we got some pretty good stuff. We've been building this up for about a year and a half now. We've got roughly 6 digital recorders, a couple of the higher quality 30 gig jobs that you can really sit down and let him run a while. We've got a Sony 60 gigabyte handycam that can that has the infrared night shot, and I also have a IR illuminator that mounts on a bracket, and you can just turn that thing loose, and you can run it for 40 hours straight, and just throw it on a tripod and off you go. The other thing we have is a Hitachi 4-channel DVR. And right now we only have one black and white and one color camera, but I'm about to add a third color. And we've actually used that on one investigation already, and it worked out really well for us. over in Pilot Hill. Just about March 21st, we were out doing that investigation. So we'll probably take pretty much the full complement of gear with us and break that all out and set that up accordingly, in, mainly in the Gold Hill. But for field work, we're going to be handycam and recorders, for digital recorders for everybody. And might even try some old school stuff. I'm researching some of that. Saw an interesting thing on TAPS the other day where Jason, I believe it was, or Jay, took and did use flour to get footsteps recorded. And I'm going to research that technique. And, I think in the second floor of the Washoe, correct me if I'm wrong, Cap, I think there are footsteps heard.
Yeah, there's a lots of footsteps heard up there. So some baby powder might even be good.
Yeah, so we're going to look at, some of those type of techniques. And we always try some experiment with something new, just like what we're doing tonight with the studio thing. We're out there, stretching it, seeing how far we can go. And it's working, but we've got a lot of failure analysis to do on all the things we got going wrong here. But, yeah, that's the sort of gear we're going to take with us. We'll try a few new things, and then we just come back and we'll tell you all about what happened and what we learned and, what to do and what not to do and throw it out on the show. And that's a lot of what we're trying to do here is really help folks out and be inclusive and not try to hide what we're doing,
Well, if it was me and I was going to that Washoe Club anyways, I'd be hitting that main floor where they actually caught that apparition at, which is on the, I believe it's in the parlor, isn't it? The main dance floor, it was on the second floor.
That's
what it was.
Yeah, I think
I'd be setting up strictly a DVR in there. I'd set that DVR up in there and just run the crap out of it right in there, because it seems like it walks back and forth. It doesn't have any kind of intelligence to it, but still, I mean, to get that again, that'd be really awesome.
Yeah, that would be good. I'm going to be talking with them pretty much everybody up there all week. I'm going to be calling, during breaks at work and stuff, and setting everything up. Kind of got messed up last week. I ended up with, of all things, a staph infection. I got cut on my face when I was shaving, and I ended up nearly in the hospital. So all my plans for talking to them and getting this all set up last week was ruined. And so I'm still a little bit under the weather, but I'm still walking around. But what'll be nice, though, is I would like to get into the Washoe, and actually, if we could work it out, I'd do the Gold Hill, and then second night we'd go in and do Washoe. For just mainly video evidence, and if we could leave the gear overnight and just come back and get it and work it from there. So we're going to find out what we can from the owner. And and it's like Kat said before, they're trying to restore that place and just keep it running, and with the economy the way it is, it's been tough on them. So they, matter of fact, we posted a thing on the website that has the address you could actually send an indication if, if you could, even $5 I think will help the guys. So and just something to think about, because it's really all these great locations are, I guess, they're getting into some kind of danger, considering what's happening with the economy and everything. So a lot of places may shut down, and who knows? A lot of hard work might just go down the drain. But anyway, we're gonna do our best to get in there and throw that equipment in, and definitely keep you guys updated as to what we're doing in there. And then Boot Hill, of course. I might be able to only do that in the daytime. Ghost Adventures, I know they got in there overnight, and they, Zach went in there and
they
just took the
off
out of that
too.
Guy up at the top of the hill. What was that?
I said they probably paid a hefty penny to get in there too. The other thing too, I think you could probably get a permit to go up there too. I think.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm so interested in walking up and really pissing off a guy that's been dead up at the top. He's got a reputation for being kind of gnarly about it. Daytime investigation into early evening, I wouldn't mind doing that. Safety-wise, I'd just a little worried about the situation. So I'll have to find out more.
I'd go out there with you.
If you ever do get the chance, just like you're inviting us to go to Iowa, if you get the chance, come on out.
You guys are more than welcome to come here to Iowa. I got a place for you guys to stay at too, and everything, and it's not like, and I'm 5 minutes from that house.
Well, we are looking at the Shanley as a trip, and if we could do some kind of a two skip hop and a jump kind of thing, come in and do a you know a day or two there on the way back or whatever.
Sure.
You know, that's something I would entertain. I just have to deal with. It's funny, we're planning out our year, and there's just so much going on. I've just been looking at the calendar, going, "Wow, we're really moving." You know, and we're a young organization. You know, only about a year old, and we're like just full up, man. I'm still amazed
at
all this.
What,
and
if you need help, just give us a yell. You know,
what's that?
Give us a yell if you need help. If you need any help, if you got any of the out-of-state ones that you need help with, just give us a yell. I mean, like here in the Midwest, we can help you guys out with those. I mean, you know, so you guys aren't traveling all over God's creation. And like
well,
I said, you know, all the information we give it right back to you, you know.
Yeah, a matter of fact, it's funny, as I was talking earlier in the show about some of the things that we're doing. I'm working with Journey Paranormal because, you know, they're running real light on a crew right now, and really great people, and you know, Sharon's just a joy to work with. And she just got overwhelmed with a bunch of her evidence and, you know, submitted a bunch to me from the Lizzie Borden Inn. And I fired that up today and just went, oh, my God, because, I mean, there's just the stuff they're getting is great. But, you know, and I think something would be kind of cool is when one group maybe gets a little, you know what, deep in evidence to kind of fire up and just talk to all their buddies and say, hey, give us a hand. And, I kind of think that's a great way to go there. And if we get an out-of-state case, we'll definitely, forward your way if it's in your area.
Yeah, because, you know, not that we're light on cases or anything. It's just that, you know, we just, you know, I've been working my butt off getting a few of these places and everything, and I'll tell you what, it's harder than I thought, you know, on a couple of them.
Oh, God, yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
But once you sit down with most of the board of directors and you, like what I do is I take my laptop with me and I show them a little video of what we've done in the past and everything, and it really works for them. They're like, God, you guys look professional. You look like you're a professional group. And I just said, well, I'll tell you what, we don't come up with a ton of camera crews with us. We don't do that. I said, what we get, you guys get, and you can post it, or you can have us post it, whatever you want to do, you know, go that route with it. But they get copies of everything that we get, you know. And like we just did, I just went out to L.A. and worked with Lakewood Area Paranormal, and they did the drum barracks. I went out there with them for that one. That was a ball. I've never seen a team that big in my entire life.
How many people did they have?
20. 20 people to do this place.
Geez, that's like, how do you coordinate it to that many on an investigation? That's just huge.
You would not believe how she had this coordinated. It was perfect. I mean, she had a team of 5 people per room, you know, and they would switch out every hour.
Huh.
It was interesting, I have to say the least.
And you know, and I mean, here I am with, you know, we've got, you know, 5 regulars. I just think I'm trying to do 20, and it's just 5 and 30 cats, man. But, and they're all great. They just have their individual lives, you know. So that's a full-time deal. They must be really pushing commitment. You know, that's the only way that could work. With that
right.
Kind of
well, they're in L.A. too. I mean, you know, so, I mean, shoot, they got a ton of people they can go with. But, you know, here we've only got 5 people in our group. The only reason why we only have 5 is because the majority of them don't pass the background check here. You know, we do a thorough background check on, you know, criminal background, and we also check with the National Sex Offender Registry here in ours, because, you know, we work with a lot of families that have kids and everything. The last thing I want to do is take a pedophile in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah,
so
our team, that's
we've
got people I work with, you know, in the propulsion and science industry, so it's, we never had to do that because they've already been checked out. But
four pedophiles actually filed to come into the group and everything, and once I pulled them up on the sex offender registry, you know, the free one that everybody can get into, immediately when I put in their addresses, boom, there they were, and I was like, yep, see you guys, bye, have a nice day, you know.
I'm going to remember that for the future, because we're advertising right now for a case manager, you know, to help, because I'm just getting overwhelmed with all the paperwork right now, and I need some help, and, you know, and also we're looking at an equipment manager to just kind of give me a hand with some of this stuff, so I know I'm kind of filling 3 positions at once, and boy, it's a lot of work. You know,
well, I can,
so
I can help
you know
with your case management thing for right now until, you know, until you guys can get one in there full time and everything. I can help you guys out with that.
I can help with that.
Yeah, Kat's kind of filling in. We're kind of doing half and half with a lot of it. It's just
half
the problem is we're doing we're going out on these cases, and when we get done, it's the analysis and then filing the paperwork and all that, waiting everything, getting it all down to you know what it's to be for a final reveal, and it's
of course,
that's a lot of work. I'm telling you.
Well, you should see our questionnaire that we have before we send it out to when we send it out to the clients and everything. It's almost 15 pages long.
I think I dialed into your show the other day, and they sent me a copy of that.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
Yeah, I got a copy of that. We're looking at it to adapt it for our needs, and it really is just amazingly detailed.
Yeah,
and,
Chris and Kath, I'm telling you, they've been helping me out a whole lot. And I'll tell you what, Chris and Kath, I can't say enough about them, you know what I mean? They are just wonderful. I mean, I stayed with them when I was out there and everything, and they went through my whole computer, and we just went through everything. We went through every piece of evidence that I got and all that. We went back, and she forgot to send me this document until, you know, before I got out there, but when I got out there, I looked at her questionnaire and everything. I was like, dang, this gets personal. And it does. It gets very personal, but, you know, you have to have that sometimes, you know, because,
yeah,
you know, a lot of the times.
I don't know. I that's the part I'm having to really wrestle with. I got looking at some of it, and I went, wow, man, I don't know if I want to turn off these people with getting so deep into some of this, but if you do have a case where I could see where if you have a case where it's potentially somebody a little bit mental or you've got somebody with, you know, there is a demonic or whatever thing going on, you got to know everything. I mean, you got to start going to the doctor. You know, you really got to have, you know, the whole examination, including all the parts you don't really like everybody to see. So,
say, for instance, the PKE case. I mean, gee whiz, could you imagine all that information right there being useful in that? My Lord, poltergeistic or PKE, that'd be one heck of a piece of paperwork to have right there, because then 90% of your evidence is right on that paperwork. You know?
Yeah, they were saying, one of the things they were saying, they were using it to kind of, once they got through that interview, they were using it to kind of weed out the cases where they kind of knew, you know, this is something else, and they could route them to the right kind of help. Especially if somebody had a mental history or you know a criminal record or whatever the heck that you know came in. It just seemed like it does have a lot of value. I'm just trying to integrate it in and you know fold it in carefully and you know because we've got an existing framework and we're still growing. You know, but it sounds
to me like
we're going through the same experience because you know I mean I don't know how long you've been investigating.
I'm about 5 years in, but I mean you know. I've been doing it by myself for a long time, and I just finally got team members in here, and I got a great bunch of team. I'll tell you what, I got Jolene, Casey, both of them are related and everything. They're aunt and niece and everything. And then, you know, I've got Grant, who's been with me since the inception, you know, and Grant's been my buddy. He's like my little brother, you know. And when we go out on cases, people get such a kick out of me and Grant, because I'll tell you what, you get the two of us in a house that's got making noises and everything else, we're going to run to the noises. And people just go away from it. We go to it, you know. And
that's funny
because
my researcher, Michelle Cook, and I were out at the Pilot Hill case. It was back March 21st. And it's funny. She's a real slight-built little lady and just strong as nails. She's tough. And I really respect her. And she's just a hoot to hunt with. And we were out there, we were out walking in the front yard, and it was real dark and, you know, Starkville night, and we're out doing EVPs and doing some work out there, and all of a sudden we hear this horrible sliding noise, and it sounds like some big monster coming right at us, and I'm looking at her, and she looks at me, and she goes, John, and I go, you know what, I'm going in, we're going right to it, and she goes, well, are you scared? And I said, yeah, I'm scared, you know what, Les, but I'm going in anyway. And so she's behind me. She's holding on my back, and we're creeping up on this thing. And we walk up to it, and what it is this guy next door, the property next door, had a basically it looked like one of those golf cages that catches the ball when you do a big, you know, when you're practicing your swing.
Yeah.
And he had a plastic tarp on it that had slipped off, and it was the wind had started, and it was rubbing across that. And it made the most ungodly noise, and it just started to laugh when I got on it. I went, and she, you know, she hadn't seen it yet, and she's going, what is it? And I go, take a look. And she started to bust up, and she looked at me, and she says, I'll hunt with you anytime. You go right in. And I said, well, I was scared too, but what do, you know?
So, yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I mean, you know,
thing, I mean,
we had people where,
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, we had a case where we went, me and Grant, and this is just the two of us, we're out there in the cemetery, you know, and this is right down the road from me, but I'm friends with the pastor and everything. He said we can come out there anytime we want to train our guys. So I went out there with him one night, and I said, hey, Grant, why don't you go walk to the back of that cemetery? It's real small. I said, why don't you go walk on that back road and see what you get back there? And he goes, you going to come with me? I was like, no, you can handle it. I said, I want to stay right here. And I'm like dead center of the cemetery. I said, go ahead. And I said, see what you get. And he goes back there, and he's standing there right by my aunt's headstone, okay, right next to it. And something grabbed him. And he started running back towards me. I said, what the hell are you doing? And he goes, I'm running. And I said, no, you're going to turn right back around. You're going to go back over there again. And he goes, why is that? And I said, I'll go with you. So I went over there, and I was messing with him. And I said, God, when is the last time you ran from something? He goes, well, something grabbed me. I said, okay. I walked over and said, hey, Annie, knock it off. And so he got grabbed again. And I said, oh, it's because he's cute, right? And then we got on the EVP right there, as I said, so you think he's cute? And we got an answer, yes.
That's good.
And ever since then, Grant has been, you know, ever since that, Grant is like, he goes, that was the only time I've ever been creeped out. And I was like, dude, and I said, I got some places I'm going to take you that's going to really creep the crap out of you. You better be ready for it. And you know what? The next time we went, he did not run one time.
Well, you know, it takes conditioning, and that's the thing I'm finding as we, not only for my own team, but myself. And I challenged myself one night. This was back
last year.
John, you dropped off again. He dropped off, didn't he, Kat?
I think so.
Hang on, guys.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you, but it sounds like you're doing a 60s remix.
Hang on, I'm doing, how about that now?
That's better, John.
Okay. Anyway, I got some issues in this thing. I'm still working this all out, so we'll just I'll just go back to the phone until that fails, and then we'll go back. Like I said, just a brand new studio. So anyway, where was I? I was just talking, and suddenly I lost track of what the hell I was saying.
Oh, we were talking about running away from stuff.
Oh yeah, what it was is I was coming back from Michigan Bar Cemetery. I'd been out with another group that took me out there, and it was really a great little cemetery down in sort of on the valley floor. And I was coming home in the fog and driving all alone back home, and I took the road that took me right past where Shingle Spring Cemetery is, and I'm alone, right? So I decided to just do it. So I turned in, and I went up and pulled in. It's like 11:45 at night. I come walking in there and grab my EVP recorder, and I walked. I challenged myself to walk a cemetery alone at night, and I did it. And it's usually the thing you wouldn't, you know, normally you would not do that alone, but I had my cell phone with me, and I was, you know, I was in a place where I could get help if I needed it pretty easy. I could get out to the street, so... I judged it was reasonable, but it was kind of neat. I mean, I went out there by myself and faced it down, and now it's like I look at it and go, okay, I can do that. You know, been there, done that. I can handle that. But I just don't think it's natural to expect a human being for the first time to, you know, some of these things to walk in and be able to handle it, you know, just right out of the box. You know, it's just not what you're given to be doing.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm ex-military, and I'll tell you what, I walked into the cemetery by myself before I took Grant out there, And I've been there during the day and everything, and I was like, okay, you know, I got family that's out here. It's not a big deal. And so one night, it was about 20 degrees outside, and I said, ah, what the hell, I'm going to go out there anyways. So I went out there and walked that whole entire cemetery by myself. Stayed on the road, of course, right? And when I got back and looked at some of the pictures I've got, John, they had to blow your mind. I got myths. I got everything that I asked for.
Wow.
I don't understand what you people are so afraid of.
Oh, I'm not afraid of anything. I just walked out there and, well, you see, my wife is a sensitive, okay? I took my wife out there. And she goes, you know who's out here, don't you? And Esther says, yeah, your aunt and your cousins and a few other people that were related to you. And she goes, not only that, but James is standing right beside you, dude. He likes you. And I was like, oh, that's great, thanks. And the story about James is that he is actually buried, he was actually killed in Boot Hill. They dug him back up and put him in a whiskey barrel and shipped him back to Iowa.
Oh, yeah, this is the guy that's upside down with his head and his ass is sticking in the air.
Yeah, you're right, John. I told you this story before.
Yeah, you told me that, and I just loved it. It was like you pickled the poor guy, and you sent him off in a barrel, and then they put him in. I mean, what a horrible way to go. I mean, God.
I know.
You got your butt in the air, and you're sitting there with your head down, facing, going, Christ, I don't want to go to hell.
Oh.
Well, and the best part is that John, or James, I mean, John, he, you can actually hear him in the background walking around behind you the whole entire time. He just kind of keeps an eye on you while you're there. And when I walked in there, we had one of our new girls. She's pregnant and everything. And I just said, James, knock it off. Stay away from her. You hang out with me. And you hear on the EVP, he says, okay, I can do that. Full sentence.
Well,
hey, yeah. I'm speechless. I'm like, did you see that? Did you hear that? I mean, it was almost audible.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. You going to stay on for a few more minutes? Because we're going to do our break, and then you can talk some more cases.
Are you going to play another Sasquatch thing?
Nope, we're going to play something even better. It's a little bit risque, but I think you'll like it. It's kind of a parody song. So we're going to go ahead and play this, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes. And, Kat, this is for you. Here we go.
The devil went to Jamaica. He was looking to sell some weed. He was doing fine. They were standing in line. It was excellent weed indeed.
Oh, my God.
Who was likewise peddling pot. And the devil slid down the beach to the kid and said, boy, let me tell you what. I guess you kind of figured I'm a reefer head, of course. And after all this time, I guess that I'm a connoisseur of sorts. Now, your stuff smells okay, but this could tranquilize a horse. I'll bet a million in cash against your stash because I think mine's better than yours. The boy said, my name's Johnny, and you ain't smoked nothing yet. One hit of this grass will kick your ass. You got yourself a bed. Johnny, roll a ball of hash and make sure it's the bomb. Because the devil's got the kind of stuff they smoked in Vietnam. You'll get a million smackaroos in cash if you can cope. But if you can't, the devil will get your dope. The devil packed a bong with a little Acapulco gold, and resin flew from his fingertips as he fired up his bowl. He filled that chamber all the way, and he took a mighty hit. And as they passed it back and forth, it gave them both a coughing fit.
Holy crap!
Damn! When the bowl was finished, Johnny said, hey, man, that stuff was great, but fill your lungs with some of this and prepare to vegetate. Cannabis, sativa, sweet Mary Jane. The devil's in the backyard frying his brain. Zigzag filled with a diggity dank. Hold on tight, it'll hit you like a tank. The devil nodded off because he knew that he was stoned, and he asked if he could buy an ounce of the stuff that Johnny owned. Johnny said, devil, just come on back if you ever want to catch a buzz. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, mine's the best there ever was. And they fired up doobies one by one.
Oh, my God,
John. And it goes out till the bag's done. Green as a bullfrog, sticky as glue. Granny, do you get high? Yes, I do.
Don't look at me. I'm happy that you played that song for me. Unfortunately, I don't smoke though.
From the star-filled skies of the Sierra Nevada range here in Northern California.
I just thought I'd do something completely off the wall.
You want me to whip out my Cartman?
Send that to me.
What's that?
I said, John, you got to send that to me.
I will. I'll go ahead and make sure you get that. I had to dig deep, man. I was like going, God, I got to find something whacked. And I went out looking and ran into that, and I just laughed my ass off. And
you know what? I'll send you that Griswold thing going off on Dan Bell. What do you think?
Okay. Do that, and I'll send you that. I'll send you this one, you send me that.
All right, sounds good, man. I can do that.
Okay, we got to do it, man.
I know you like that when I do that one.
Yeah, I sure do. Well, hey, your case is we were talking about your relatives that you you've got the relationship with, who's in the upside down whiskey barrel, and who likes the women, and who you've been able to keep kind of going on. But what other things have you been doing, or what other cases come to mind that you know that you guys are working on?
I have one PKE case, a female. I probably said this on my show a couple times. One PKE case that we thought it was poltergeistic. Found out it was a woman that was in menopause. She, her husband and her weren't getting along, and so lifestyle change, you know. They're practically separated. And, called a friend of mine up at Harvard, and that's just, hey, dude, that's just that. Have you heard anything about doing PKE on older women? He goes, oh, yeah, tons of them. And I just said, well, so what do I need to do? And he goes, well, here's an idea. This is what we do when we get them here. He said, I'll go and send out a plane ticket for her and everything. Just hold on. Let's find out if this is true PKE. And so we're sitting there, and he says, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to make her so stinking mad that she's going to do it. And so she's standing in the kitchen, right? And I talked to her husband out there. I said, now you know all hell's going to break loose here in a few minutes, right? He goes, yeah, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm just going to go in there and piss her off. And he goes, seriously? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to take care of it. So I went in there and I'm sitting there talking to her. And I said, man, this lasagna sucks. I said it just like that. And all of a sudden she turned around. She looked like she's about to throw me across the room. And her husband is in there just dying. He's laughing. And all of a sudden, here you go. He's in there laughing, and I'm in there telling her how bad it sucks, okay? She's getting mad at me but taking it out on him.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Stuff started flying all over the house. I mean, it was hilarious. And I was like, okay, I'm going to step outside, cool off. I just did that to see if I could get you to do it. Stepped outside and called Bert back, and I said, hey, Bert, she did it, dude. And he goes, are you serious? Plane ticket will be there tomorrow morning. Take her to the airport.
So she went?
She went, and now she actually knows how to control it now. She's been able to do this since she was a little girl. But her resurgence of it came back when she hit menopause.
Man, if you stood in my house and told me my food sucked, I'd throw you off my deck. Then you got about 30 feet to think about it before you fall and snap your neck.
It was an experiment, you know. I had to do it exactly like Bert told me to do, you know. And I was just, God, how am I going to do this without, you know. I was like, my God, she's going to throw a knife at me or something, you know. But actually, she just gave me the look, and she knew something was going on, but her husband was in there laughing. That's what pissed her off the worst.
That's not very nice.
And he was dying there. I mean, I actually almost had him in the floor. He was laughing so hard. He's never said anything like that to his wife, ever. And he was rolling. And all of a sudden, all of his golf trophies that were on the mantle took off after him.
Whoa.
Oh, it was bad. And so I got her out of there and took her up to – we had her sent to Harvard and everything. And so they got her up there that week doing the case study. So I hung out with her husband and everything, kind of, you know, just hanging out, just doing absolutely nothing, just sitting there talking about it and everything and how many times this has actually happened and all that. And all of a sudden, I guess Burke was doing something up there, and all of a sudden all the stuff was getting thrown at me and Burke at the same time. Or me and her husband at the same time. And I called him up on the cell and I said, Burke, what did you guys do to her? Like that. And as soon as I call him up, the whole scanner system in his in their offices went down. The whole system
wow.
went down on him. Yeah. So she had enough. She had enough that she could do some damage.
It's funny because back in 1995, I was married, and I about 1996. I was having trouble in my marriage, and between 1996 and 1998, things were looking pretty bad, and that marriage has ended. But when I was living, we were living on a horse ranch about 2 miles from where I'm at right now in a town called Rescue, and mm-hmm. what was happening was it all started innocently enough. I started noticing things were moving in the kitchen. We were having stuff just wasn't where it was supposed to be. And then it escalated to cabinet doors started flying open, and we had pots and pans being thrown out on the floor. And it usually coincided with when her and I were fighting. And mm-hmm. we would just get into these fights, and suddenly, whammo, all the cabinet doors would start opening, and stuff would fly out, and then it would just stop everything. And we'd both be looking at it going, what the, you know, what? But the real kicker was when we started having all the lights in the house were turning themselves on and off, and then that progressed into finally I think the culmination was I woke up one morning and I heard appliances running in the kitchen at 3 a.m. So I go out there and look, and here's this can opener running by itself. It's just sitting there kind of vibrating, and it's running, and I look, you know, I pulled up at the top of it, just classic can opener, you know, one like everybody's seen, household. And I pull up the stainless steel part with the actuator and pull it off, and there's a little switch, and I'm thinking it's stuck. And I pull it up on it, and it's not stuck, and it's still running.
Yep.
And finally, I just pulled the thing out, you know, I unplugged it, and that was just, you know, things like that went on all the time. And then what really got us was we had built a pool in the backyard, and I had gone through hell getting this pool, and she wanted this pool in the worst way. So I you know, we took money we didn't have and put this pool in, and we're all sitting there just starting to enjoy it, and suddenly there's a nursery next door that had they grew all kinds of different garden plants, you know, decoration
right.
type plants. And suddenly we're all sitting out there talking, and she was pretty ticked at me that day and just kind of glaring at me, but we were out trying to have fun. Suddenly the building over there catches on fire, and, you know, me and my father-in-law, he saw it. He came over, grabbed me. We jump in a truck and head down, and we start fighting this fire with a garden hose. Well, what we didn't know is the building was filled with ammonium, you know, nitrate-type fertilizers. And the rescue fire department gets there, and we're backing them up, holding the hoses and stuff. We help them out, and they're trying to control it. And all of a sudden, the entire roof blew off the building, and we had a 50-foot-wide, you know, fireball. And I mean, matter of fact, my skin got all completely red from it. You know, so I mean, this is the kind of stuff that was going on. We were just having all this stuff, and when I finally got away, you know, literally, you know, life went back to normal. But
yeah.
I had never seen anything like that, and I knew I was dealing with what you call PKE. I knew it was something like that.
Right.
Just unbelievable to see cabinets, open themselves up and stuff's flying out of them by themselves. Never seen anything like that before.
Hmm.
Yeah. So
I'm surprised she wasn't able to when you guys got pissed off at each other, like this one lady did. She was able to actually. Put herself out of her body, you know, and actually show herself as something different. I mean, gee whiz, this lady was able to do that. I mean, she could actually, her daughter lived probably 1,000 miles away. I would say a little under 1,000 because she lives out by, somewhere in Arizona. And
yeah.
her daughter would wake up being frightened by something, some black mass being in her house.
Huh. I've got a similar type story. My mother's family are all Scottish Highlanders, and my aunt, you know, the youngest sister of my mother's sister, has the ability to basically bilocate. And she was staying in the house with us, and I couldn't believe this. She never told a soul about this. Well, very few people she had ever really confided in, but none of us here knew any of this. I'm walking along into the kitchen in our ranch house, just, you know, 300 feet from me here, and suddenly I see her go by me, but she doesn't look right. She's kind of got a gray pallor to her, and you can almost see through her. And I stopped, and I looked again, and she's gone. And I'm like, going, what the frick, you know? So I walk around the kitchen, and here's, you know, my Aunt Joanne coming out of the laundry room with a laundry basket, and she looks at me, and she goes, she's real shocked. She goes, "You saw that, didn't you?" And I went, "Yeah." And she goes, "What did you see?" And I said, "You, but you were like gray and I could see through you a bit, and then you disappeared and you just freaked the crap out of me." And she goes, "I'm so embarrassed." And I go, "What are you embarrassed for? That's cool. Tell me about it." And then she started talking about how she'd been doing this her whole life and she couldn't really control it. It just sort of happened. And usually when her mind was on something really intense, she would just suddenly split in two and she could be in two places. And yeah, and I've heard of it. Have you ever heard anything like that?
I have, and it's usually due to, and a lot of them that I've found that are able to do that is because of either two things that's actually happened in their life. One, sexual trauma, like sexual abuse, or physical abuse.
I could say the latter pretty, she had a lot of physical abuse. Yeah,
okay.
Big time.
Because that's usually when that happens, is when there's been abuse sometime in their childhood. And
yeah,
that's usually when that pops out. And that's just, you know, that's what I've been used to finding a lot of these cases. I mean, you know, that are PKE or poltergeistic cases, is that the child has either been abused by somebody in the family or somebody who is a friend of the family. And or that, or it could be something, you know, where it's a regressed kind of anger, you know, that kind of thing too, as well.
Well,
so it could be,
she had a lot of that too for, at the time, and it was just stunning. I've never seen it again, but it was the most amazing thing. You looked right at her, and it almost looked like it looked like her, but it looked kind of unearthly. It was the darndest thing, and it's this gray kind of pallor to her. I don't know if that's like a common description of this, but it was just not quite her, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly. And you know what? And John just actually questioned. John's a good friend of mine, and he said, is it only a woman? The majority of the PKE cases are, the majority of them are women. It's a very rare exception when a male is doing it.
I've heard a lot of that coming from teenagers. Teenagers suffer
mm-hmm.
from that.
Right, and usually it's teenagers, female teenagers that are coming into puberty or coming out of, you know, and that's the majority of those cases as well. Or a person who has an NDE, near-death experience. Some of them that come back from have these abilities to do that. And the men part of it is like, from what I've understood, from what the case studies have all said, it's the majority of them are women. But there is like the 5%, which is male, which is very rare to get. I mean, very rare. And usually the gentlemen that go through that are usually kids, are gentlemen that have been sexually abused when they were younger. But usually it's more NDE than it is anything.
Huh. Well, it's in the case with this doppelganger type thing, my aunt was going through menopause at the time.
Yeah.
On top of that. But she'd had the ability her whole life.
Right. And yeah, she just probably unlocked it right at the time of menopause. Because in menopause, and I know a little bit about this because my wife has been going through it, and she's only 39 years old, that the brain chemistry changes. Not only does your hormones change, but you have, on top of it, you also have a brain chemistry change at the same time.
Yeah.
Usually it's in areas of the brain that usually don't light up during a during a normal MRI. You know, it's usually in some recessed part of the brain that actually, are able to actually see that. Like they said, you only use 10% of your brain. Just imagine what you could do with 15%. You know.
Well, all I know is just the few things I've seen with these kinds of phenomena have just been amazing. I mean, I think
right.
You probably, just with your casework, you've seen probably quite a bit of it. You know.
Yeah.
How many PKE cases have you had?
All the time. Two right. Going on three. I'm actually working one right now. But there's also with kids with Asperger syndrome and what is that, autism? High EMF causes a lot of problems with those kids, too, as well.
Oh, really?
Yes, it does.
Autistic children get...
they can actually hear the hum. That's how good it is. When you see a lot of autistic children that have a lot of real sensitive hearing and everything, we actually had a case in southern Georgia, and my mom actually referred it to me. She said, you need to talk to this person. And I said, well, what's going on? And she told me all about it, that the kid was seeing things, and he's 12 years old. So I get on there with them, and I said, what kind of house are you living in? And she goes, well, it's a 1970s Rambler. I said, all original electrical? She said, yeah. I said, well, hey, do me a favor then. She goes, what's that? And I said, why don't you call yourself an electrician and have them come in and do a milligauss on the house, have them check for milligauss. So she calls Georgia Power and Light, so he sent out an electrician, and he walked in that house. He said, you need to get out of here. First thing, he said, you need to get out of here. Get him out of here. The guy that she was married to had four computers running at all times. The refrigerator was always running. It never stopped. The electrical in the house was unshielded copper. So the EMF coming out of there was over 100 milligals.
Holy crap.
Over 100.
Whoa. That's
he was complaining
like
about
there,
getting
man.
Headaches and feeling sick all the time and everything else. I said, there's your problem right there. You got to have your electrical redone in your house. And she says, why?
So,
and I just said, because you're high EMF. That's what it does. You know. And she ended up having to spend $4,000 having the electrical redone in that house.
But it's all.
But her son, yeah, and her son acts normal now. I mean, he acts normal for an autistic child, but seriously, I mean, technology nowadays has gotten to be such a big thing that, think about it, I mean, 20 years ago, you never heard of cases of being this bad, 20 years ago. I mean, when I was out in California, John could probably back me up with this. I've never seen so many high-powered lines coming into the back of people's backyards than I do out here. So I could stand out there with a tri-field meter and probably pick up at least 15 or 20 milligals out there and stand in the backyard, So, I mean, just think about the technology you have in your house and what it could possibly be doing to your children or yourself,
It's funny because of all places that I found a EMF field that was consistent was Shingle Springs Cemetery, of all places. I was out there last year when I really started really working it and getting to know all the whole environment around it. I took the K2 out, and I was working the north side of the cemetery, and I started progressing to the south, and all of a sudden the EMF lights up and it just wouldn't stop. And I'm looking around going, what the heck could be causing this? And I found I located a kind of a border point where I could walk to the east and west, and I could just kind of zing in and out north and south, and I could trace it. And it never occurred to me to look up. And when I suddenly looked up, and there was four really big power lines going right over the top that were just shooting all this energy out. And we get a lot of EMF or EVPs there, and I've often wondered if, I think it's kind of a unique case that, to have high tension lines over a cemetery. And it's something I thought about looking at, is there a relationship? Is there some way we could, take this kind of a unique case and work with it and see if there's something going on here that we can make some supposition about. But, it's funny. A lot of the buildings we have here, same kind of thing, these old 1930s style and 1920s and 1910 buildings that are downtown Placerville, some of the worst wiring you ever saw. And you know, I've gone in on with other groups, and you know, they were real big on talking about that the place was haunted, and I'd come along and go, yeah, but you've got all these wiring problems, and we need to talk about that. And then they didn't want me talking about it, and I just kind of looked and said, you know, it's time for me to do my own thing. But I went back and told this one particular place that's pretty well known up there is, quote, a haunt. And I'm sure it is, but at the same time, they've got a wiring problem. And I went and told them that, and they were really appreciative. You know, and I said, you need to get an electrician in here. This is serious, man. And I took her around and showed her, and she just was blown away. So, you know, part of what we do is we're bird-dogging other problems for them, and, you know, that's good.
You know? We get to play electrician. We get to play priest. We get to play, you know, exorcist. We get to play it all. I mean, you know, we wear just not just one hat. We wear about five or six, you know. And, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you're out there doing this for a hobby. Well, sometimes it's not really a hobby. It's sometimes you're out there to help somebody out because they don't have any other answers and they don't have anybody else they can go to. You know?
They need a generalist who can play a lot of different professions at once, or if they don't have that, they know who to get. And that's kind of the thing. That's one of the areas I've been looking at, too, is I am certainly no expert on how, you know, how houses are constructed or plumbing or that kind of thing, but I know enough I can pick up the phone. And I mean, that's the important thing. And a lot of these people don't know that. And so it's just, I think we do a service. Whatever, you know, if there's anything that paranormal researchers do, we do, you know, bring people answers, and we sometimes the most unlikely ways, but we do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, the one thing I get a kick out of is, well, like one of the guys asked a question here, he says, when someone knows that they have a psychokinetic attribute, can they become more arrogant the older they get? No, usually it subsides. Usually it subsides after whatever is going on in their life subsides, it usually goes away. And it's very short-lived. That's the reason why I say poltergeistic activity is very short-lived, 2 to 3 weeks at a time, you know, and it's true.
Yeah, well, we went through, when my marriage was breaking up and all that stuff was going on, we went through about 3 months of it, but it came in waves. It was never really, truly gone, but it would get, there would be more of it and then there would be less, and there would be more of it and less. And it just sort of shifted around. It, you know, when it got to the fires starting, that was the one we got worried about. But and I was really thinking, what the hell caused that? You know, but the thing that, you know, with the pots and pans, it was doing that for a while, and then we'd have the lights, you know, that whatever it was, you know, it would play with the lights, and then we'd go on to, you know, things moving in the kitchen. You put it down, you go back, and it's gone. It's moved over to where you didn't expect it to be. So I'm sure it was, you know, my ex frustrated, and it was coming out with, you know, her. I don't think it was me. But, you know, I've never had
right,
that ability.
I think she was kind of more or less frustrated at the situation at hand. You know, she knew there was nothing she could do about it, and all of a sudden, you know, she allowed allowed all hell to break loose, you know, in her own way. And
She was also high on methamphetamine, so she used to smoke crack all the time.
Yeah, she had a serious drug problem, and
she's
that's
a crack
why
addict.
I got. Yeah, she had issues, but it was just one of those things that she we got out. I got out of it, you know, for those very reasons. And but there was a lot going on. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. You know what? I survived it. I look at it. You know, it was an experience, and not only that, I got a paranormal investigation out of it at the same time.
right, that's a good thing.
And probably at the time you didn't even know it.
No, I didn't know it. I just was going, oh, Christ, what the hell's going on? You know, but it changed my life, and the way I look at it, it opened me up for all these other things that are good now and that are coming out. So, you know, I'm able to, you know. I've never married again, and I probably won't for a while. So
make sure they take a piss test before you get married to them, and they have to sign a prenup. There you go.
I'm thinking about that. That's the way I'm looking at it. But right now, I've got the you know, GRI running and all the stuff that we do, and I'm having the time of my life. So for the time being, you know, I'll just keep it the way it is. But
yeah, but you know, John, you can always come over and just get a good laugh whenever you need to. You just come over to my room and we just get a good laugh out of something like that. You know, we can go on for days with jokes on that one.
I don't know why. Oh, I could tell you stuff, and you do, if I told you some of the stuff that happened, you would look at me and go, you went through what? And I'll tell you about it offline one of these days.
Sure, but, definitely, Josh.
Anyway, hey, we're coming up to the end of the show, and Kat, you know, so appreciate you being on.
Oh,
and,
yeah. It's been a real treat.
Yeah, and Kat, if you could do the shout-out, and then we'll start to kind of wind this sucker down.
We have Susie and Doc. Doc John's here.
Hey,
and,
Doc.
Doc and the Lioness and the Mischief Maker Studios, West Nevada Paranormal, Disgruntled Dan, Des Moines Paranormal, SIPI Terry, and Dee, and my buddy
Susie.
Drea from Shock. And we have John from GRI Paranormal. My name's Kat, and you are listening to GRI Radio here on Blog Talk.
Oh, you do that pretty well. So let me see what I'm going to do. I think let's play something fun tonight, huh? Let's do something. Okay, we're going to try this one, and we'll play this.
Uh-oh.
And I think you'll laugh. So here we go, guys.
Rice, baby.
Rice, baby.
Oh.
Rice, baby.
All right, stop. Grab a table and a
menu.
ISIS back in this oriental
venue.
Hungry for a little chop suey. I want Chinese, not Hong Kong suey.
You know what you want?
Yo, can't decide. Column A, column B, I like fries. Barbecued spare ribs, my fingers I'm licking. Waiting for the main course, Kung Pao chicken.
Spicy.
I mean hot like a stir fry. If you can't take it, or move to my pan. Mean chicken and mushrooms. While you're on the soup, the food is here too soon. No substitution, but you get
hot tea.
They say vegetable, but that means
no pee.
If I get dessert, yo, I deserve it. Check out the chow while the waiter serves it.
Rice, baby.
You're eating sweet and sour, but you'll be hungry in less than an hour. Use chopsticks, it don't matter. Fingers were made for a poo-poo platter. Egg rolling with egg foo young. My dinner is cooking like Connie Chung. Noodles on standby, chow mein nearby.
Egg drop!
No, I'm a one-time soup guy.
Soy sauce!
Hot mustard smoking, my plate is clean and my fortune cookie's
broken.
Bust in a bite of Mongolian beef. Get a mint toothpick for my teeth. Take out leftover
lo mein.
If I eat any more, I'll have a
weight gain.
If I get dessert, yo, I deserve it. Check out the chow where the waiter serves it.
Rice, baby. Rice, baby.
Yo, man, let's get out of here. Tip to the waitress.
Love Weird Al's Benny.
Oh, Lord. You don't think that went anywhere racial, do you?
What's that?
I said, you don't think that's racial anyway, do you?
No. But all I know is I just have a great time with this, and you guys are a lot of fun here. So, hey, man, I'll get in contact with you about some of this stuff that we can't talk about on the air, and trade that song with you, okay?
Oh, definitely, man. Like I said, you can always get a hold of me at DesMoinesParanormal@live.com.
Okay.
Pretty easy website, or pretty easy email to remember.
Okay, will do. And
yep.
So that said, I think we're on the final minute here, so we thank you for being here, and Kat, another good show. Kind of a weird show at that, with all the equipment issues and all that. But you know, starting up a new studio is not a
free
experience. So, we'll definitely not put you guys through this again. We'll do some test shows and kind of keep it private until we get all the kinks worked out. But hey, appreciate you guys playing along and being good sports with it. And we're going to be back on Friday to talk, or basically to be broadcasting live from the Bookery in Placerville. And then the following Sunday, we'll be interviewing Shock, the Spirit Hunters of Knoxville. And
that's
Cap's
right.
Going to run the whole thing. I'm just along for the ride.
That's it.
Okay, guys, so we got 15 seconds, so we're just going to say 1, 2, 3, Cat, 10, 9, 8, 7,
6, 5, 4, 3.
Okay, guys, goodbye, everybody.
Woo!
Okay, we're off. And with that, we're going to hang it up, and hey, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, not a problem, dude. Anytime.
Okay, and we'll talk some cases here real soon. So I'll get on the email right after this and get a hold of you, okay?
Sounds good, man. See ya.
Okay, bye. And, Kat, I'll talk with you here in just a little while.
Okay.
Okay? All right.
Bye.
Bye.